Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. And that can be found on page 971 of the Church Bibles. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Alicia, thank you so much for reading that for us. Do keep it open as we take the opportunity to have a look through those verses. And maybe you notice as we continue on in our series in the Sermon on the Mount, maybe you noticed as Alicia was reading that, the number of choices that Jesus highlights in our passage this evening. First, we start with two treasures. And so Jesus challenges us, what will you store? Then we're challenged with two visions, and Jesus challenges us, where will you look? And then we're told about two masters, and we're challenged, who do you serve? And then finally, in the last section, we're told about two desires, and so challenged over what it is we prioritize. And look, you'll know that we have choices everywhere, don't we? Maybe more than ever before, we're faced with choices all the time. Maybe last night as you settled down on a nice Saturday evening and you sat down on the sofa and you thought, oh, I'd love to watch a film, and so you switch on Netflix and you're faced with over 5,000 films to choose from. Most of those now random Christmas films already. And as you settle down for your film, you think, oh, look, I'd love some kind of snack just to get me through the film. And you think, let's go for something alternative on a Saturday night. I'd love just a bowl of cereal as I watch my film. And so a simple cereal search on Tesco website brings up 198 options for you. Gone is just Weetabix or Corn Flakes. And so once you've chosen your film and once you've chosen your choco nut pillows, you settle down to watch your film. And as you're watching, your eye cannot help but wander to the wall above the TV and you think, God, my living room wall could do with a fresh lick of paint. If you're too young to think about these things, enjoy it whilst it lasts. Because then you get onto the Deluxe website and you're faced with over 1,200 options of colours. Even if you just pick white, there's apparently 97 variations of white. Who would have thought it that you could have moon shimmer or frosted dawn or delicate seashell? We're faced with choices everywhere. And I wonder, with the increase of the number of choices we get, comes with an increase of worry. You'll have noticed, as Alicia read it to us, the second half of our passage is all about this big theme of worry. And three times Jesus tells us in our passage that we do not need to worry. Verse 25, verse 31, and verse 34. And maybe as you heard the passage read out and you hear Jesus three times tell us there's no need to worry, maybe there's a part of you with whatever you're going through in your life at the moment, and you go, that's easy for you to say, Jesus. You didn't have 198 options for breakfast or over 1,000 options to paint your living room wall. And yet we know that apart from those more trivial worries of what we have for breakfast, we'll know that both closer to home and right around the world, there is a lot of worry and anxiety right now. As we hit 2020 and COVID and the pandemic hit us, it was well known that levels of worry and anxiety rose massively amongst people. And yet as we came out of that into 2022, 23, when we thought they might drop off, they've only continued to increase. And most prevalently, amongst our younger generations. In fact, I wonder if it could be said that in the West, more generally, we have a situation where we're more developed than we've ever been before. We probably have more money than we ever had before. We've definitely got more choice than we've ever had before. And yet we're more worried and anxious than we've ever been before. And if you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, maybe that can feel close to home, whether for you yourself or for people you know or as you watch the news around the world, worry and anxiety is going through the roof. And so those who aren't Christians or those who are Christians find themselves asking the question, what can we do? How can we help ourselves? How do we not worry? Well, Jesus helps us in these verses. And it seems to have a link and something to do with our choices. So we're going to break this passage into two, and we're going to ask two questions of our passage. The first question is this: where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Verses 19 to 24. These verses, 19 to 24, they have three parts to it. And in each of the three parts, as we've already mentioned, we are faced with two options: treasure on earth or treasure in heaven, two ways to look, two masters to serve. And so Jesus recognizes the temptations of the world around us, and he wants followers of him to be able to make good choices. And as we read these verses, it feels just as much, if not more, relevant today than it did in Jesus' day. First, Jesus compares two treasures. He shows the issue with treasures on earth, verse 19. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." It's good advice, isn't it? Jesus warns us of the danger of storing up treasures, storing up the things that we value, the possessions that we have. And he says, look, the warning's out. They can be destroyed. They can get worn away and fade away. Or horribly, they can be taken from us. I had someone come up to me after this morning service to tell them that only this week they've been broken into in their home. And it's a horrible feeling, isn't it? And yet makes Jesus' words all the more real. And look, there's the lasting challenge, isn't there, that even if we do manage to keep hold of them for all of our lives, the reality is that we cannot take them with us when we die. But instead, Jesus says, verse 20, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. It's a complete contrast, isn't it? Jesus says there's something that cannot be destroyed and something that cannot be taken. So what are these treasures? Well, it's interesting, Jesus doesn't explicitly tell us what these treasures are. But he does say, or does imply, that these are the things that we prize or hold on to or treasure most. He says in verse 21, it's the things that grab our heart, what we value. And as he says, they have the power to last for eternity. Surely it's the things that we do now that have an impact right into eternity. The priority that we give to God's agenda and God's call to our lives right now. The ways that we treat and serve and love others around us. The witness we are called to be, the way we are to those who wouldn't call themselves Christians, giving them the opportunity to hear about it. And Jesus says, look, no burglar can touch it. No vermin can destroy it. There's no measures needed to protect it. No insurance needed to cover it. In fact, it's indestructible. Two treasures. Which one will you store up? Jesus says it's surely the one that will last. The one that can be stored without any threat. And Jesus goes on to challenge, to say, look, this really is an either or in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Two masters, who will we serve? And the language Jesus is using here, it's less language of kind of work and employment and more language of the slave and the owner. So you may be sat there and you may have two jobs and you think, no, I can serve two masters. I can have two jobs and serve two employers. But that's not the picture Jesus is giving. Because the reality is, no slave can be owned by two owners. And the word money at the end of verse 24, capital M, it's broader than just simply cash, money. It speaks of our whole wealth and the possessions of worth that we have. Jesus challenges us. Are you trying to serve both? Maybe God on a Sunday, but our money, our wealth, our possessions the rest of the week? Maybe God outwardly with our lips, but actually it's money, wealth, possessions inwardly in our heart. Jesus says you cannot serve both. Which is it to be? And so in our increasingly materialistic Western culture, these are such challenging words from Jesus. Where is our treasure? If someone was to look at our diary or bank balance, who is it we're serving? And look, I don't think Jesus is saying that we shouldn't have any kind of possessions or money. There's nowhere that we're told not to have anything. And I don't think Jesus is saying to not kind of plan for the future. No, we're called to be wise. But he is challenging us. What place do you give them? Do you notice the language in verse 19? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Jesus is kind of speaking into that selfish motivation that stores up for our own benefit. And so he warns against money or possession having such a hold that we're serving them. Not so much having them. But Jesus says, verse 21, that it captures our hearts. And so maybe you find, or you ask yourself, are they capturing my heart so that it is they shape my decisions? Or I find that it is the subject of my daydreams. I wonder where you can be in danger of this. Set your hearts on things above, we're told, because it is a treasure that never fades. And why is this so important? What impact can having our right treasures in the right place have on our lives? Well, as Jesus goes on to the second half, it seems to have the potential and the power to speak into our worries. If in the first half, Jesus asked the question, where is your treasure? The second half, Jesus asked the question, where is your trust? Where is your trust? Verses 25 to 34. Here is the section all about worry. We've spoken about the prevalence of worry. And Jesus calls us and says, we don't need to worry. He knows we might worry, otherwise he wouldn't bring up the subject, wouldn't talk about it in the first place. And yet he says it's possible not to worry. But how? Look, I'm glad we've done these two passages in one section this evening. Sometimes people can take verses 25 to 34 as a chunk on its own. But I wonder if you notice the link between this section and what we've just looked at with our treasure. Seen in the very first word Jesus says in verse 25, therefore. Jesus says, therefore, in light of making the right choices about your treasures, therefore, you do not need to worry. Because he warns, choose treasures on earth, choose to serve money. Well, it will probably dictate and shape all your thoughts and will give you plenty to worry about. And so with the billions and billions of pounds that's spent on advertising food and drink and clothes, telling you, persuading you to make your whole life about it, well, that's something to worry about. But choose treasure in heaven. Choose to serve God, not money. Not saying that food and drink and clothes are not important. Not saying that we don't need to think about it. No, we need to think about it. But saying that we can trust in a wonderful Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. Which means even though we think about it, we don't need to worry about it. And so Jesus shows us wonderfully how. I think he gives us two responses to how we can not know worry. First is, if you like, the more logical, the common sense answer in verse 27. He says, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? He says, look, worry won't add to your life, won't make your life longer. If anything, more and more worry can have the potential to shorten your life. It's almost, if I like to call it, the Hakuna Matata philosophy. Don't worry. There's no need to worry. There's no point worrying. And yet Jesus spends more time on giving a more, if you like, deeper answer to why we don't need to worry in verses 25 to 30. And as he gives this answer, he does it from a kind of small to big perspective, a lesser to greater response. He points us to two areas of creation to make his point. He first says, look at the birds of the air for an illustration of how God supplies food. He says, verse 26, they don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet they are fed. Or secondly, he says, look at the flowers of the field. Or that word is literally the lilies. I know nothing about flowers. I tried to time it so these lilies would come out and flower for this Sunday. I was too early, and so they're starting to fall apart. Which actually adds to the illustration, doesn't it? Because the point Jesus wants to say is, look at the lilies, look at the flowers of the field. Look how beautiful they are. And yet they'll be here today, and most likely gone tomorrow. And so he highlights the small, the lesser, the birds and the flowers, to almost show the greater. Look at the birds and see how they're fed. Look at the flowers and see how beautiful they are as they're clothed. And so surely as he feeds the birds and clothes the flowers, surely He'll care about feeding and clothing and looking after you. Someone who is far more valuable. Someone who is made in the image of God. Someone who he sent his son to die for. As with many people, and maybe people in this room, Rosie, my wife, and I found the lockdown pandemic in 2020 really, really tough. And we found ourselves going through a time of worry and anxiety. As we came out in April 2021, our firstborn daughter was born. And we chose to give her the name Lily after these verses, because we wanted a reminder that we can trust in the Lord and in his goodness. We can trust that he cares for us, no matter what we can go through. And look, this passage will, I'm sure, raise lots of questions as we work through it. I wouldn't be surprised if Pigeonhole is going wild with different questions. And let me just pause and highlight a few things that I think this passage is not saying, as we think about what it is saying. I don't think, or I'm pretty sure, Jesus isn't saying don't have food or drink or clothes, or even don't think about food or drink or clothes. Now think about them, but Jesus says don't let that thinking lead us to worry. And also, I don't think Jesus is saying that as he cares and looks after us, it's not as if, as I've heard it said before, we can kind of let go and let God. As if, as a Christian, I can sit back in my armchair and do nothing and expect God just to shower me with food and drink and clothes. Now, look at the example Jesus gives. He points us to the birds who don't just sit there, but they go looking for their food. They work for their food. And so similarly, God provides, and yet we still have responsibility. And so many of the means in which God provides will be our everyday ways of looking after ourselves. And I wonder in this passage where there is a really good and healthy challenge to us as a church family to be looking out for one another, to be getting to know one another well enough to know where things can be tough, where there can be temptation for people to worry about these things. And so how can we be going out of our way to be the means by which God provides for those around us? Jesus says, "Do not worry," verse 31. Because that's what the pagans, that's those people who don't believe in God, that's what they do, verse 32, as they run after the things of this world, as they make their whole world about them. But Jesus says, we have a heavenly Father who knows us and loves us and cares for us. And so instead of worrying, Jesus says, we've got a far greater concern to be giving our energy and our resources and our efforts to, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus challenges us to have a heart set not on treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. To have a heart set not on worrying about food or clothing, but a heart set on God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Those are themes, if you've been with us over the last few weeks, themes that we've seen come up in this Sermon on the Mount. God's kingdom, a big theme. We saw it last week in the Lord's Prayer as we're taught to pray, "Your kingdom come." That is, that we pray to seek God's kingdom come across his whole creation. It's his right rule, his good rule. And so longing that his creation submits to his good rule and right rule. God's righteousness, another theme that we've seen come up. I wonder if you can remember back to the first week as we looked through the Beatitudes at the start of chapter 5. And there's the one that says, will we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Not only righteousness being our right standing before God, but our righteousness played out every single day as we our right living, our right conduct, day by day with God. Here are the right concerns of someone looking to trust in the Lord. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And so as we work through these passages, I wonder what it is that can be causing you worry at the moment. Will we be a church family together? Will you seek the support of those around you? It's why, as we've mentioned, our small groups we feel is a really vital part of church family life, where we can get to know a smaller group of people. We can build friendships and trust that I can support you and you can support me. Will we bring our anxieties to the Lord, knowing that he as our Heavenly Father cares for us? And will we trust in him and so seek his priorities of his kingdom and his righteousness? Wonder what it might look like for you to seek his kingdom and his righteousness in yourself, in your everyday life, at home, in private, with family, at work, in your language, in your conduct, in the way that you use your possessions, your money. But it's not just ourselves, is it? It's those around us as we seek to see God's kingdom come, wanting others to know the goodness of God. Will we use Christmas as an opportunity to share that with others? Will we stick around, as we've mentioned this evening, to have a bite, but also to be able to continue to process and digest and share and chat this through with others around us? And so as we look to make the right choices, so we can trust him that he will care for us. And how do we see that most wonderfully? Well, as we look to the one whose life was anything but free from trouble and pain, and yet who points us to the birds and to the flowers. Someone who, as he faced the hardest climax of his life, as he was nailed to a cross of wood and killed, was able to trust in his Heavenly Father that he would love him. And so as we look to Jesus Christ, so we can look to trust him that our Heavenly Father cares for us. We're faced with choices everywhere, every single day. And so as we make our choices, as Jesus gives us those choices, will we make the choices that look to store up treasures that last for eternity? And as we do that, will we look to seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness, trusting that he loves us and that he cares for us? Why don't we take a moment to just reflect on these words from Jesus, and then I'll say a prayer. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Lord Jesus, please help us to make the right choices. And as we do, please help us to look to you. And so when we go through the challenges and experience in life that can lead to worry, help us to trust in you and to seek your priorities of your kingdom and your righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Great. Thank you for your questions. We're not going to be able to get to all of them. So if you have a question that isn't answered and isn't got to, then do try and grab Woody or Rob or a member of the church team afterwards to talk about it. Or maybe, he said, plugging it, stick around for some bites and insights and explore it together afterwards. But let's try and hit a couple of these questions, Woody, recognizing that we won't do them justice in full in the time that we've got allowed. Let's try this one. What does it What does do not worry mean for those who experience anxiety as a mental health struggle?
I think that is a real struggle. And so please don't hear me saying, as we look through these verses, any kind of belittling of anxiety as a mental health struggle. As I mentioned, Rosie went through anxiety through the pandemic, and we sought professional help, medical help, which I think is vitally important for anyone who's struggling with anxiety or any mental health struggle. So please use the resources available, professional, to seek help, as well as coming to our Lord, our Heavenly Father, in prayer and asking for his help. So I think it's a very strong both and. I don't think as Christians we want, or not, I don't think, I am sure as Christians we shouldn't be dismissive of external professional help. We need to be seeking it when it comes to a mental health struggle or any health struggle. So please do. As well as that, please do be coming to the Lord rather than walking and distancing yourself from the Lord, which can be a challenge and a temptation. To ask him for his help as well as professional. I think this is when it gets really, really tough, and where I would love us as a church to be supporting one another more and more, to be looking out for one another, seeking professional help, seeking the support of those around us, seeking the Lord's help in prayer as well as we ask for his help to be able to trust in him. I think that's when the dynamic gets really, really tough. I don't have much more to add from that. But to be seeking professional help, to be seeking support of one another, to be seeking the Lord. There'll be better people than me who will have a better answer to that. So if that's you, that's something you're struggling with, please come to us, speak to Caroline, speak to myself, speak to a trusted friend you know about it, but also seek medical help as well. I'd really encourage you for.
Thanks, Woody. Just then, picking up the next question, it seems quite impossible to stop worrying about money. I think it's worse for those who have very little. How can we not worry about it when we struggle every day to even have enough money to live? I guess the cost of living is something that's on a lot of people's minds and hearts.
Yeah, it is, and you see it. And I think it's a struggle for both those with money and without. I was hearing from a vicar this past week who was apparently previously a vicar of the wealthiest parish in the country. And the worries that most people had was about money. And so when you have it, you worry about probably keeping it or getting more or what you do with it. And when you don't have it, you worry about not having it and the need for it. And so I think it is a worry for both. And I think you really, really see it for those who don't have it. I don't think there's an easy answer for it. And look, I would love us to be a church that is able to talk about these things and to support one another in it. I think there's another question talking about the taboo of talking about money, and it really is. We don't like talking about either how little we have or how much we have, and we often don't like accepting offers of help of money. We often accept help of other things or offers of other things, meals or help with practical things, but when it comes to kind of, can I give you this money to help you, it's often something that we shy away from. And I just wonder what it would look like as a church family. I'm pretty sure there'll be people in our church family who do need to visit food banks and do struggle with things like that. And I'd long for us to be a church family who can help and support one another in this, so that we can trust in the Lord and be supporting one another as a church family to love one another and potentially be that means of providing for one another, so we're able to get to a point of not worrying. So I don't have any golden bullet on it, I'm afraid, but want this to be a live conversation, an open conversation that we're having as a church family as we long to love one another and long to trust in the Lord. Well, without putting you on the spot, Steve, do better than me in one sense of answering that, or let's chat about it over bites later as we think about how we can be that church family for one
look another. I just think as a member of the church family, it's a really good challenge from you. It's very easy and very British to get no further than, how are you? Yeah, I'm really fine, thanks. The reality is, no, I'm not. Okay, wouldn't it be great if we were a church family that knew each other well enough to be able to say, no, I'm not, and here's why, or how can I help? I mean it.
And that's tough. And that is
great challenge.
And I think that's where we want to develop these relationships, whether it's after the service each Sunday evening, whether it's in our small groups, where we won't be able to be that open with every single person, but to have a group of people where we do feel comfortable and have the trust working both ways, that we can be open and vulnerable, whether it's this area or any other area. I hope and I'd love us to be able to cultivate those kind of relationships.
Great. Woody, thanks very much. In the interest of time, we're going to draw stumps there on questions.